Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. This is May 14th, and 2024, just in case. Somebody was recently telling me they were doing some kind of a cognitive test, and they asked the person what year it was, and they didn't know. But on the other hand, they first asked the person what the date was, and I said, well, I'm not sure that's fair. I'm not sure I would have known what the date was. And they said, yeah, but they didn't know the year either. So, guys, it is May 14th, 2024. If you want to anchor yourself into that, and in some ways, maybe that is what we're doing. Before we came on the air today, Mo is my guest, and Mo and Jay and I were talking about the idea that there were solar flares, and cosmically speaking or astrologically speaking, the sun was conjunct Uranus yesterday. And I said, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It wasn't physical. You know, it's more of, you know, an impression that we get from Earth when we look out and we see the sun and Uranus in the sky in the same astrological space. But it's kind of the same thing. Things are kind of wild. So at least that's how I experienced it. And yet I've noticed, you know, as I reflect kind of in a more solid way or in a careful way, there were several kind of aha moments yesterday, kind of awakening moments, even in what felt to me like very chaotic circumstances. And so, you know, that was my takeaway really from that energy. And I love it because Uranus, I think, is the great awakener. It's symbolic of helping us see things about ourselves or about our situations in which we, in some ways, are just playing victim to something that we can really easily release ourselves from. You know, look at the ways that we've built little boxes around ourselves, or we have these beliefs, or we have these structures, and Uranus comes along and just kind of breaks it apart and says, hey, look over here. And so I feel like if that is the takeaway message for me, I literally had several aha moments, and those were due to conversations I had with people, and they said something to me that was, in a sense, very obvious. And I went, oh my gosh, how did I kind of lose sight of that? Of course I know that. Or of course I know that about my chart. Or of course I know that about the situation. How did I get so confused? And so I think that was very valuable. So even in the midst of something that feels chaotic, or like, how are we putting all these pieces together? If you're feeling like that, Uranus came along and, you know, got in there cozy with the sun. And actually it was the sun cozying up to Uranus, really, because it's the one that's moving, you know, faster in terms of the way we see it astrologically. But, you know, if you're feeling that, then I would say, okay, take a deep breath and look for the aha moments. You know, what did you learn? What was revealed that somehow you can take away from that? And, you know, and continuing through this week, because we have lots of interesting things happening. But like I said, my guest today is the amazing Mo Abdelbaki. We'll see what's going on with him and what he would like to talk about as well. He's a Vedic astrologer. So in fact, Vedic astrology doesn't even recognize the planet Uranus. And yet they certainly recognize that same kind of energy. And it's always interesting to me because I may be talking about Sun and Uranus, whereas Mo will pick up on a similar energy, but attribute it to a slightly different, you know, planet or a different kind of aspect going on astrologically, which just shows you everybody has different tools. But when you find a tool that really works for you, it can become the lens through which you see things and understand things. So it's really, really helpful to do that. But before Mo joins me, I just do want to point out a few more things that are going on this week, because there is a lot going on this week, but it's also in an interesting juxtaposition, because literally, you know, the way I'm seeing it is like the cosmic weather forecast is calling for high winds next week, because next week, bing, 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 we have three planets moving into Gemini, which is an air sign. It's mental, it's fast moving, it's flexible, it's versatile. It's going to be the Sun, Venus, and Jupiter all moving into Gemini next week, according to the Western astrology system. Jupiter, of course, is huge. That's so important because Jupiter really only makes that change once a year. So when Jupiter changes, you know, we definitely perk up our ears and we take a look at what's going on. But anyway, if you look at it next week, boom, 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 we're in the Gemini season. But this week we have Taurus, and I think it's the opportunity to still kind of dig into that very grounded, earthy energy of Taurus. And yet what we see this week is Uranus, which is in Taurus, is meeting up with both the Sun and also with Venus. So I want you know, to think about Saturday, which is when Venus is going to meet up with Uranus, because that could also be kind of like a red letter day for you. That could be a moment of aha about everything that you value. It could certainly impact relationships. You know, it could resonate with your finances, with your stuff. Anything that you find valuable, anything that's associated with Venus is going to, in a sense, have a shakeup. But just like I was talking about for me, that shakeup can end up being very, very positive, because what it does is maybe it gets rid of some of the fluff, some of the, you know, the outer coating of something that just doesn't need to be there anymore. And you understand more clearly, like maybe what your relationship is about, or what you want your relationship to be, or your relationship to your stuff. You know, there again, that relationship is with the material world. So Saturday could be really special. Just kind of watch for that, because it could be a time actually that you meet somebody really incredible in your life, that you attract something into your life. People who like to gamble, who knows, maybe they finally win the lotto, or finally, you know, get that big win that they're looking for. But likewise, it could be a real eye opener about how we value things and whether or not we're protecting our resources as well. So don't hear me saying that you should go out and gamble. Okay, I'm just saying unexpected things can certainly happen. So if you're the person, you want to turn around in your finances for the better, you're likely to get it. You know, just embrace that kind of energy. It's certainly possible. But we also have the Sun having a relationship with Neptune on Sunday. So that's a sweet little connection that's very spiritual. It's very compassionate. Maybe it's a time to, you know, if something comes up in your relationship on Saturday, maybe on Sunday is the day, you know, you just find that oneness. You find that way to pull something back together with someone. Or maybe you just find that peace in your own heart, you know, something going on for you there. So we got a lot going on. We also have Mercury, the planet of thinking, moving into Taurus on Wednesday. And you got to love that. You know, I always think of Clint Eastwood, because this is the energy of the strong, silent type when you have got Mercury sitting in Taurus. And I'm only going to say one thing, because, you know, it is going to be a short transit only until June 3rd. But this is the time that, you know, we really ground our thinking and our words really mean something. And I want to give one quote and then we're going to turn the microphone over to Mo and see what he's thinking. But this really hit me. These are actually a couple of quotes by Ram Dass and he has Mercury in Taurus. But he said, "Only that in you, which is me, can hear what I'm saying." Now, I know a number of other people have said something similar to that, but I think it's a very powerful statement that we often only see in other people what's already in ourselves. What's internal is being projected into the external. And I think it's not worth going crazy with that kind of idea and saying, you know, the rock is purple, I'm purple. You know, I mean, I think we have to be careful, but only that in you, which is me, can hear what I'm saying. And finding those common threads between us, but also understanding that when you get beyond the superficial, we're all the same. And we're all looking for the same thing and wanting the same thing. You know, which is, in simplified terms, you know, feeling love, being able to feel love, give love, feeling part of something bigger than ourselves. Ram Dass also said, "We're fascinated by the words, but where we meet is in the silence behind them." So, similar idea. Really love those two quotes by Ram Dass. So on that note, let's get Mo on the show. Hey, Mo, are you there?
I'm here. I'm somewhere. I think I'm
Yes.
where Pardon me.
So I know you are a Taurus. You've got a birthday coming up. What sign is your Mercury in? Do you remember? In the Western system?
I think it's Taurus, although
Yeah,
I'm not
that's
sure.
what I was wondering as we were talking.
I think everything, I'm pretty Taurian. Sun, I think my Venus, I don't remember anymore. It's been so long. But there's a lot of Taurus in me, and then that Scorpio moon, you know.
Yeah.
And the
Oh, but
thing
you know
is,
what? I just pulled up your chart, the Western chart, and
yeah.
you've got Mercury in Gemini.
Oh, that's right.
You know, and that actually doesn't surprise me because even though, yes, you are a Taurus and there are so many things about you that seem very Taurus, the very fact, you know, you're a radio person, you're a radio host, you do a lot of writing, you are always interested in 101 things. That to me would seem more.
Dalmatians, especially.
But I mean, honestly, you know, it's when you do this thing about out of Mo's mind, it's like you never know what's going to come out of Mo's mind. That to me seems like Mercury in Gemini. So that makes sense that you're Mercury in Gemini.
And I flit back and forth like a sparrow on a tree, you know. I just short attention span, but long attention span at the same time.
I was going to say, I don't see you as having a short attention span.
No, I do flit, but I always there's always a long-term concept. And there's a novel brewing in me, and that surprised me. And now it's beginning to take form, and it's really kind of bizarre. So,
Oh, well, that's nice. See, one more thing. Hey, and by the way, it looks like Jupiter in your chart is in Gemini, which means you'll have a Jupiter return this coming year.
and who
There's
knows
your
what that
novel right
right
there.
there it is. And so yeah and yeah oh today, by the way, the sun entered Taurus in the Vedic system. It enters on
Okay.
the 14th. So, and that changes things. That's that rupture we were talking about, you know, rupture and rapture. And it doesn't enter on the 14th in every sign, but it's 14th, 15th or so. So sometimes 17th, depending upon the month. But it takes place in the middle of the month, as it used to long time ago. But and that can bring strange energies for sure. But so for me, yeah, I turned 70 in 2 days.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I
I
knew
haven't.
it was coming up. I didn't realize it was 70.
Yeah, 70 in 2 days. On my calendar, I just have a big, not a big, it's tiny, it's LXX. I figured I'd put it in Roman numerals because I feel dusty, you know? So we'll just put it like that. But I like that. I feel good about that. The fact that I've made it, you know? And a lot of my friends just haven't because we were a reckless group. We were. But
Yep,
yeah,
those
so it's very cool.
60s, 70s, I guess,
Yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of my idols didn't make it out of the 50s. You know, their 50s, not the age. But I'm pretty pleased about that. Yeah. So yeah, indeed. There is some Mercury. There's some my Mercury is in Gemini, and I've always seen that as an unfinished building, like the girders, you know. And a lot of girders and all that, but without any thing, without any drywall, without it's just girders and lots of them. And that's how I imagine my mind. And I wonder, I don't know why that is, but that's how I see it.
Okay, now, but you're saying that that is the image that you have of Jupiter in Gemini, right?
And Mercury. I mean, I just
Well,
that's my
yeah,
mind.
but you know, because Jupiter's heading for Gemini, I mean, I think the audience would be interested in any take that you have on that kind of energy. It's big energy.
Yeah,
You know, it's a
it's.
big deal when Jupiter moves.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just when I think of my mind, I think, well, Jupiter in Gemini to me is a big city, you know. It's like a teeming metropolis, and so it's not like it's quiet in my head. It's never quiet in my head. I used to have vertigo, and it was terrible. And so it's my sister had the same sort of thing, and I'm not violating any HIPAA thing, I don't think. But turned out she had the same thing. It's a family thing. It's a sort of a family problem. And so thank God she had it because the doctors were completely stymied, and all I had to do was get on the same medication she's on, and boom, like magic.
Oh,
Well, I've
wow,
had,
that's good.
yeah, it was good because the doctors were like, I don't know, you know, that sort of thing. They
Yeah.
tried, they were good. But so I got on that, but I've had to give up caffeine because of my hearing. It's a long story. And so giving up caffeine, and it turns out that this particular thing that I have needs caffeine. It's a sort of a migraine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they tell my sister, whenever you feel this coming on, drink a good strong cup of coffee. But I can't do that. So I've had to give up the old caffeine, which I'd been drinking since I was age 12. And so because I've given it up, and you realize just how addicted this country is to the stuff,
Yeah,
I
for
the
sure.
vertigo began to come back. So I had to double up on the dosage of the medicine. And you realize just how strange everything is. And you realize that to me is that Mercury in Gemini. You know, you have this mind that has been used to being synaptically fired, zip, 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 all the time, you know, and on stimulants. And when you give up the stimulants, that's the Jupiter in Gemini, you know, the lazy part. Jupiter can be very lazy, you know.
Yes, it
It
can.
could just say, I'm not going to do it today. I'm going back to bed, you know. So
It's
I
just
had
kind of
to,
entitled, don't you think?
I mean, yeah, of course, it's the king.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah.
oh, you know, my dad grew up knowing King Farouk of Egypt, you know, because his dad was in the parliament. And so, and he wasn't awfully fond of that. He wasn't fond of that system. He said he would come out of the palace and there would be people who were starving to death. And you know, and he said it really bothered him because in one side of the, on one side of the doors there was silk and brocade and opulence and lobster and steak, and on the other side of the door there were people who had no legs in dirt, you know, and he was horrified by that, and he lived in not in opulence at all. He lived in privilege for sure, but it made his mind up. It was a broken system, and he didn't want that for his family, you know. So he came here, and his son was a hippie. That had to be very disappointing. Everyone had, but the whole point is that you know you look at that sort of energy, you know, of someone like King Farouk, or I'm not picking on him, but anyone in royalty, and they have that sort of thing going on, and they can be either like that, or they can be benevolent. And oftentimes, due to human nature, what do they become? Well, the mind is the same way. What are you going to be? That's the question. And so I think that's, and with Mercury in there, I don't, you know, I think the Mercury has been in some ways my savior. Does that make sense? Because if that Mercury wasn't there, who knows what I'd be, you know? Not that I'm great, because I'm not that, but I don't know. There are times when I really stop and say, what have I done, if anything, with my life? But I do study. I'm obsessive about certain things. So that's that push and pull. Now Mercury and Jupiter are pretty good friends in the Vedic system, because there are friendships and there are enmities. You know, some planets don't get along very well, and Mercury is, you know, he's like the vizier, if you will. He helps Jupiter. He's the wise guy, you know. He consults with Jupiter, who is the sort of the king, the Raja, if you will. And so we need that Mercury energy to consult. We hope that he's going to be close to the king. So it's I'm glad he's there. I'm glad he's within striking distance. But he doesn't get along with Mars very well often, because Mars doesn't have any real need. You would hope there would be some intelligence with the warrior, but sometimes there isn't. You know,
he's a doer. Mars,
he's a doer, and my Mars is a long ways away from Mercury. It's a long ways away. So it's interesting. I love looking at astrology as personalities, each planet having its own distinct personality. And the sun, we always consider the sun to be kind of the king of the ruler, but I always look at Jupiter as the real ruler, you know. The sun kind of is the center of our universe, and it really is. But like you were saying yesterday, boy, these, I wish I had seen this, the lights, the northern lights, but I can't get up in the middle of the night. I just can't do it anymore. It's not because of my age, it's medication. This medication I take for the vertigo just blasts me into oblivion when I take it, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess people in my neighborhood were seeing it, which just, yeah, they took pictures. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I would love to have seen it. I've always wanted to see it. My friend Bjorn is from Norway. And he grew up seeing it. He said, oh, it's wonderful, you know, but once you've seen it, then it's like, oh, shut up. You know, don't say that. But
well, yeah, and I'm almost surprised that he would say that, because it's almost, I know it's not the same, but I would put it equivalent to seeing a rainbow. And I, for one, I never get tired of seeing rainbows.
Right. Oh, I don't.
You know, and it's not that, you know, we don't have a lot of rain here in Nevada, but we have had more this year, and it's not unusual for somebody to go, oh my God, look, there's a rainbow. Oh, yeah. And so there is something fascinating about lights or physical phenomena like that in the sky. And I would think the northern lights and the solar flares and that kind of thing would be the same. That how, you know, how do you get tired of it? They're not all the same.
Have you ever seen a green flash?
Yes, over the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, that's stunning. Yeah.
The sunset on the ocean.
Or sun dogs. Have you ever seen sun dogs?
No, what is a sun dog?
A sun dog is when you have the sun, and then you have usually two other suns on either side of the sun.
Now, what causes that?
Ice or reflection, something like that. And I am, anything that is unusual absolutely stuns me, you know. I still look for figures in the clouds.
You know? Oh, me too.
Anything that is unusual just blows me away.
Yeah.
I love nature. Nature to me is remarkable. There was one day when it had snowed, and you get that that terrible, ugly snow in the middle of the street. You know, you know it well. Snert, they call it, you know. Snow and dirt, or snit, which is something else, you know. And we had Trudy was in the car, a dog, and suddenly she started barking hysterically, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw what I thought was a stout and grimacing man. By grimacing, I mean like almost like gritting its teeth at us. And I thought, who is that? It was about 3 feet tall and making a face at us in the middle of the street. And I, out of the corner of the eye, and I turned and looked, and there was this, just a big hunk of snow in the middle of the road. But I could have sworn I saw it like grimacing and menacingly just doing something. And she was, and I looked, it was just this big wad of snow. And I thought, I wonder if that's an elemental, if it's a gnome or something. And I said that out loud, and my wife thought, oh God, he's losing it. And she thinks that on a daily basis, I will say. And unfortunately, but Trudy doesn't bark at snow. She doesn't bark it, but she barks at weird stuff that I think is weird too.
And she barked at that?
She barked at that. And she kept barking at it long after I recognized it as a big wad of snow. So I think maybe it might have been more than met the eye, you know? I believe in these things because I've been doing this weird stuff for a long time. And it's not always what you think it is. I think, supposedly, in the lore of elementalism, as I call it, they can take that form and just, disguise themselves. And I don't see why not, you know. There are the sylphs who take the form of clouds, and they can take ice crystal shapes in the clouds as well. And they're the undines who are in the water, and then there are the salamanders, who take the form in fire. So I just love these things. I love them. Whether and even if they're not real, wow, what a fun way to look at the world, you know?
That's right. And I'm a firm believer there's still omens or there's still messages in them. So it's
Oh, for
not about
sure.
whether or not somebody can prove it's real or it's not real. It's what was your impression? What did you see? What did you feel?
That's right.
You know, it's
That's right.
very, very valuable, even if you then take a second look at something and go, oh, that's not what I thought it was.
I'm a big omen guy. Big,
Oh,
big
me
omen guy.
too.
Yeah.
Me too.
The universe is constantly speaking to us, constantly. And that's one of the most important things there is. I'm convinced of that. And the I Ching is a huge proponent of that. There are entire schools of I Ching study that are based entirely on you don't have to cast a coin or divide the yarrow stalks. You simply use nature, and it works brilliantly, brilliantly.
Oh, now, and I didn't know that about the I Ching.
Oh
I didn't know there was that alternate way of
Oh
using it.
yeah. And I've used it for years and years. I once predicted an astounding prediction that turned out to be accurate to the day based on balloons crossing the road. You know, helium balloons that had lost a lot of their helium in front of a car that I was in. And I said, oh, that's weird. And I noted it. I keep a little notepad and I wrote it down and the time and the date. And it predicted to the day a major occurrence in my life.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's amazing what the universe wants to tell us if we pay attention. It's just that amazing to me. And all we have to do is, just keep our eyes open.
Be open and be as, I can't think of what the word is, but I guess I would say neutral or objective. You know,
Right.
instead of saying, universe, I want an answer, but it can only be in the form and the answer I want. So then we don't recognize it if it's not in the form we want. Instead of just saying, you know what? What do I need to see today? What do I need to hear today?
Right.
I'm open to whatever.
Oftentimes, after I get a message, I say, drat. I mean, it's not what I want to hear.
That's right.
And I just go, drat. It's like I really don't want to know that, but that's not up to me. It's not what I, it's like, oh, doggone it. I wish that had not been the answer. But sometimes that's just the way it is. I've been doing this for so long, you just realize that there are times when you're not going to get what you want. But that's okay, because that's the beauty of life. Life is like riding an amusement park ride. Eventually you come out on the other end of the amusement park ride and you're okay and you get on another ride. God, it would be so boring if it was the same thing all the time.
And after years and years, I mean, how many decades have I used the tarot? And I do tell the story, especially in the beginning, but it wasn't that long ago. I would pull a card for something. And I would see the card, and I remember the first time I did it, I kind of said to the tarot, you misunderstood the question. And so I put the card, all 78 cards back together and shuffled. And what do you think happened? The same
Same
card
card.
came up. And then, and of course, I was like, oh, okay. And then a year or two later, something else happened. And that's it. I was so invested, so attached to the answer that when the card came out, I said once again, oh, you know, I didn't shuffle these enough. I wasn't being clear. You know, it didn't understand, whatever. So I put them back together and the same card comes out. And I promised myself at that point, I said, you are never going to do this again. You know, if you're saying that you want an answer to something, then you have to be willing to see the answer and explore what it is. Because if you think you already know the answer, then why are you pulling a card?
Right.
I mean, you know, that's really it. If I know the answer, why am I pulling the card? But I'll tell you, it still happens that I don't, but I never say, okay, you obviously didn't understand, but I will say, okay, well, can I have one more card just to like get a story going here? Because I'm really stuck with having that card be the answer. So sometimes I'll pull a couple of cards and just see what the story is. And
Right.
that's what I feel like it does, is it says, okay, well, here's another piece of the story. But I feel like after I did it that second time, I thought, I am not going to do that again. I'm not going to disrespect myself or the tool or the whole process by saying, you know, give me an answer, but only the one that I want. But it's such a temptation. You know,
Well,
it truly is a temptation.
we all want the story to end up the way we want it to, but that isn't possible, you know. It, however, well, I'll give you an example. I asked a question of the I Ching, and because the I Ching to me is like a friendly uncle, you know, a benevolent uncle. I call it my Uncle Yi, you know, and I sit down, and I'm now working with a technique using two dice, six-sided dice, and one is red and the other is black. Red with black spots and black with red spots. I just love this because it actually accurately reproduces the odds of the Yarrow Stock technique. And I love that. And it's just fun. I'm playing with it. And it's really, really cool because you can have two or three moving lines or no moving lines, which is the same with the Yarrow Stock. So I used it and I asked a question that was leading, actually. It was a leading question, and I kind of wanted the answer I wanted, which is very common. We're human, right? And it was kind of a yes or no question, and I knew it was not. I mean, I'm human, so I asked it, and the I Ching gave me an answer that was not satisfying. And really, what it was saying was, you know, Mo, I like you, but this is a silly question. And I'm going to give you the answer that is ridiculous, but it really is answering the question that you should have asked. Because in truth, I want you to stop and think about what is the question you should have asked? What is the question that you really needed,
Wanted to know,
yeah,
or
wanted to know? You know, you're smarter than this, supposedly. And what is the question you really should have asked me instead of the simpering question you did? And it took me 3 days of thought to really say, this is the question I really wanted to know. And it was incredible because that was the answer exactly that I needed. And when I finished kind of thinking about it and going through the moving lines, it was so brilliant. I'm not making this up. You know, I'm not trying to make it fit. It not only answered my question, but completely alleviated all my stress around it and made me feel so much better. That's the brilliance of divination. And that's what it does. It is philosophically satisfying, but it also led me to a place of complete satisfaction, you know.
Well, and I
And
love that story, Mo. I mean, and I love that as an example because I think here again in our work, and I assume it works, you know, the same way for you. You know, oftentimes I will be working with somebody and they'll have a question. But, you know, I can just feel that's not really the question. You don't want to just know, are there going to be apples at the grocery store today? You want to know, what the apple crop is doing. You want to know, are there going to be apples in the future? Am I going to like these apples? Am I going to feel safe with these apples? Whatever. And sometimes, you know, especially like when I've had somebody, I used to do a lot of in-person work, and we would, you know, do the cards, and, you know, they'd want to just start flipping these cards, and I go, no, let's really talk through what is it that you're really wanting to know here? Because they're going to give you an answer, but you've got to be very clear on what it is you want to know. So sometimes right. It really would become, it's not a matter of whether or not this person is going to call you. It's a matter of, why do you want them to call you? Right. What is it you want from them? Or what kind of relationship do you want from them? Because if you ask this kind of superficial question, is he going to call, yes or no? That doesn't really tell you what you want to know, you know, what's behind it. And that whole process of going into self-reflection or talking it through, what is it you really want to know? Or what is it that's really going on here, is totally enlightening with or without the cards right. or the I Ching.
It is. Yes, it is such a learning experience. And my belief is, if you don't learn something from the process, then what good is it?
Yeah.
I think we should learn something every day. Every day. Mm-hmm. I try to anyway. I can't imagine a life without learning something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at one point when I was in my early 60s, no, mid-60s, about 65, 66. when I turned 65, I bought myself a pocket watch. And I sometimes I wear a wristwatch and I use a pocket watch. I like time. Time fascinates me. And I was going to have engraved on the inside, for 65 years of service. You know? And I didn't do it because I didn't want to ruin the watch. But it has a cover, you know, and I still use it. I love it. But I really was thinking about age, and I thought, I'm not going to start learning anything new. I mean, I'm 65. How much, you know, reaching the last years of my life. And then I thought, what is wrong with me? I will atrophy. I'll turn into a slug. I'll turn into a beanbag chair. And I realized that I am a junkie when it comes to information, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I actually am worse than ever. I'm trying to learn new things all the time. And so,
well, and folks, he's talking Gemini here, and I know that we opened the show saying we're talking about Taurus, but this is the Gemini energy coming in, the back and the forth, you know, the insatiable curiosity. And yeah. We're going to have lots of planets in Gemini starting next week. And so yeah. If you're one of those people, maybe you're like Mo, you have your Gemini or your Jupiter in Gemini or your Mercury or something else. Or, you know, I always say, even if you don't have a single planet in one of the signs that is the season that we're in, it's the opportunity to still dive into that energy, because it is somewhere in your chart. It's operational. So what can you learn from it? And what he's talking about is definitely the motto of Gemini: learn something new all the time, right. Have experiences, gather information,
mm-hmm.
and acquaintances and experiences.
Oh, I think you've got to feed your head, as the old Jefferson airplane song says, you know, the mm-hmm. Dormouse never said that. That's a mistake. Well, it's not a mistake. The song says, remember what the Dormouse said. So go back to Alice and Through the Looking Glass, or Alice in Wonderland, and read what the Dormouse says. But it doesn't say feed your head. You know, it's remember what the Dormouse says. And then the end of the song is feed your head. And that can be interpreted many different ways. You know, I fed my head back then, according to the cultural, you know, mandates. But you've got to feed your head constantly, and you have to feed it with whatever is important to you at the time. I'd go crazy if there was, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to read the back of a ketchup bottle, you know, in a restaurant, because mm-hmm. I was constantly having to feed my head. And if you feed your head with garbage, then you're going to have a head full of garbage, you know?
Right.
And it's important to know what it is you're feeding your head with. I mean, I'm sitting in my office, which I affectionately call the bat cave, because oftentimes there are bats in my belfry. And I have books and books and books. I've three, four bookshelves in my room. And there are many curios in here too, but there's also a lot of books. And I read these things, and there's no fiction in here. There is some fiction. There's some, the annotated works of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and things like that.
Uh-huh,
and
love it.
Edgar Allan Poe and the annotated Moby Dick and things like that. But most of it is stuff about metaphysics. It's Aleister Crowley and it's stuff that I and Hermeticism and Manly P. Hall and The Golden Dawn and stuff that we and a lot of books on astrology and Vedic astrology and stuff that I've read and that I've kind of just gestated, or digested. And then it becomes part of the ossification of my brain. It's solidified into something that I am. And I think that is just kind of weird. But I love that stuff. And then when you need it, when you need to rely on it, a lot of Egyptology in here too, a lot of religion, world religious books. I love that stuff because I didn't realize until I was 18, the first time I read the Bible, the Gideon Bible, by the way, in a hotel, a motel, Motel 6, that this entire culture of ours, this Western culture, is based on that book. I was flabbergasted. We were in Morro Bay for the Oyster Festival, my family and I. And there were no oysters because they hadn't come in. It was a bad year for them. And so our family, my family, there was a waterlogged, water-damaged Gideon's Bible. And so I started reading because I hadn't brought a book. And I thought, oh, my God. This is the cornerstone of this culture. And so I took the book, and I found out later it was okay. I called the Gideons to apologize. They said, oh, keep it. That's fine. That's why we put them there.
Yeah.
And indeed, I still have that book. I can see it on my shelf. That was when I was 18. That was 50 years ago. Yeah. I'm Taurus. Isn't that what a Taurus does by textbook,
Mm-hmm.
And these things become, I don't just keep them, they are me, if you could walk through my brain, you would see it on the shelf in my mind. These things are important to us. They become a valuable part of us, And there are other things. It's not just internal. There are other worlds that are external of us. And I think people don't understand that. Did I tell you about my experience that I can only call shamanic?
Something recent?
Yeah, it was not that long ago, where I had a question that was nagging me, and I was playing my Anasazi flute, and I kind of blacked out. Did I tell you about this?
No, I don't think you did.
I'm not going to talk about what the question was, but it was deeply personal, and I was playing my flute, and I had this trouble that was worrying me, and I kind of blacked out. I just was playing the flute very. I didn't fall on the floor or anything, but I suddenly was walking in a fog, and it was dark, and I found myself adjacent to a bridge, and I was able to see in the dark enough to see that the bridge was metal, and scratched on the bridge was a date, and it was rusted, and I looked at the date. And I saw the date, and I'm not going to mention the date, but it was scratched like with a nail. And I thought, that is really weird. And I saw the date. I didn't recognize the date at all. It wasn't famous or anything. And I came to. And I thought, this is weird. So I got on the internet and I looked up the date, looked up the date, looked up the date, nothing, 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 nothing. I then found out that there was a date that was one day later, which would have been here in Colorado, and it was the sinking of a ship. And this date was at the beginning, the turn of the century, right? Just of the 20th century. And when I saw that, it was exactly relating to the answer of my question.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it was like,
I love it.
Yeah, it blew me away because it was something I could not have known. And it happened somewhere that was also an answer. So I was just flabbergasted. I had never heard of it before. I had never heard of the ship, but it was so stunning to me because it was an answer that I was absolutely led to, and it completely, once again, it eased my mind, and it was a complete answer to my question. It just put it right there. And it was like saying, okay, Mo, drop it. It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, that's being open.
Yeah. You know? I mean, yeah. And I wasn't even expecting it, you know,
yeah.
I was so grateful for it. And it really did succinctly and completely put it to rest.
Yes.
It was just stunning to me in a way that I couldn't even believe. And so that to me says there is something external of us. It's not all in your head. There is something outside of us that can take us by the hand and give us information we never even imagined.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm
I'll
a
tell
doubter
you why
sometimes.
I think why I'm hesitating is because I would see it more of there is always something, not so much outside of us, but something within us that then can manifest, you know, that looks like an external thing, but that it was always there all the time. But we needed to see it in the physical form, or we needed to see it outside, because we don't automatically interpret it as the voice coming from within. But,
well,
you know, that's another,
I'm
I guess
just
that's
saying,
another area.
I had never heard of this ship. I didn't know of its sinking. I had never seen evidence of it. And it was so specific. We'll discuss it sometime.
Yes.
Okay.
But I mean, see, where I would go with that, though, is that we do have access to collective information.
Right. Someone might say the Akashic records.
Mo as an individual didn't need to have access to it, because something bigger than Mo, that is still more Mo than your physical body, does have access to it. It knows it.
Yeah.
And you were
something.
Able to touch, you know, somehow the inner guide, the inner whatever that moves beyond the physical limitations of the body.
Well, I'm a firm believer in the Tsimsheans of the Tsimshean tribe of the Pacific Northwest. They had a tradition of, we call it, I don't know what we call it, soul retrieval or something, but they had their shamans were really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a very powerful tradition. I mean, for example, they never touched their hair, you know, and they had, and so there was strange, very, very interesting people. I'm very fond of their culture and their artwork, but they had what they called soul catchers. And if you've never seen them, they're kind of spooky looking, but I wear a soul catcher ring that was designed by a cool artist up there.
Uh-huh.
And it looks enough like a wedding ring that people don't freak out or anything, but it's a stylized soul catcher. And I really like it because it sets my tone as being in that realm all the time. You know,
right,
that concept
right.
of, I kind of feel that there is something in all of us that could be shamanistic, of this world, but not of this world, I'm not saying I am one, but I've had experiences that feel that way, and that was one of them. That was one where I felt like I had traveled somewhere and seen something that someone led me to. And maybe it was just that, but it was foggy, it was nighttime, it was like a daylight savings time issue, Or actually what it was is it was like an hour earlier where I was or something. I don't know. I didn't stop to think of it, but it was like where it happened. It was an hour. It happened at midnight where it was, but here it would have been the next day, It was just fascinating to me.
It
And I thought,
is fascinating.
yeah. And but it answered my question perfectly. And it just said, okay, Mo, now let it go. And I think that's the power of what we do, the world we live in. If we listen, if we allow ourselves the latitude to be there,
Well, thank you for that reminder. And also, thank you for everything you said today, because I think it is a good introduction into that curiosity, that openness, that flexibility of all the Gemini energy that's coming our way very soon.
Yeah, it is curiosity. I don't like not knowing how things work.
Well, and yet that is a we'll always be curious because there's so many things in life we don't know how they work. So
Absolutely.
we're wrapping up our show. Thank you so much for being here today. Do you have any announcements that you'd like to make before we close today?
Oh, no, I'll just be on my show tomorrow, the Paisley Penny Arcade, where I enjoy that place so much.
Yay. Yep. Well,
Yeah.
it's a perfect venue for you.
3 p.m. Pacific. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mo, thank you
Thank
very
you.
much for being on the show today. I really do value your time. I mean, I know it's valuable and I appreciate that you just like
Thank you.
clockwork
I
or
love being
watch
here.
work. You're always here the second Tuesday of the month. So thank you so much.
My pleasure, truly.
And I also want to thank everybody who came into the chat room today. We didn't have much time. I did review your comments, but thank you, Tara and Renee and Quelly and Marina and Patricia and James. Of course, James, I always shout out to you. He's, talk about like Mo always being here. He is too, along with Renee and Pamela and Alisheo. Thank you so much. And I hope I didn't miss anybody, but thank you very much for coming in and just saying your nice comments and just letting us know that you're here today. And that is the chat room over on Facebook. So thanks. And as we close the show today, I would remind you that I'm going to join Kelly Whetstone because on the second Tuesday of the month, following this show, Kelly and I do what we call our meeting of the minds. So I hope that you will stay tuned for that coming up next. I also want to say thank you to our producer, Jay Varvel, who, now that we're in Taurus and I'm saying, all this kind of stalwart energy, the people who are always there and the people to count on, that feels like what's running through my mind right now. So Jay, thank you for being here today too. And so this is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki, on OneTwo Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world, especially as all that Gemini energy comes blowing in next week.